Some of you remember the old show, Highway to Heaven. And I kind of put several things together. We're talking about salvation and so forth. And this is kind of grouping several things I've done a little bit on Sunday night, kind of putting it all together. And we'll see what happens here. Today it seems that we travel a lot. When I was a little boy, my dad worked as assistant superintendent of work equipment for the Milwaukee Railroad. He had the territory from Chicago to Seattle and was in charge of all the mechanical equipment for the railroad. I never forget the car rides out west in our 57 station wagon, the six of us going up and down the mountains with my dad. Our vacation was going back home to Sioux City, Iowa, some 1,200 miles. We would start at 5 a.m. in the morning and roll up the windows, rest in gas station stops only, of course, and the only feedback. And the only stop was a two-hour nap my dad took in the car so we could drive the rest of the trip. Buick station wagons ride like a boat. They sway back and forth and float along a road at 85 to 90 miles an hour. Dad used both sides of the road to straighten out the curves, and we rarely met a truck or a car. He drove Snake Canyon, I don't know if you've been there, but Snake Canyon, 65 miles on the miles an hour on the curves and 85 miles an hour on the straightaways. There was no interstates, and the best way to pass on two-lane roads was to get within 6 inches of the bumper of the car in front of you and accelerate. Stress can drive a person to take chances. Faith lesson one, there truly is a God because I'm still here. In the 50s, roads followed the contour of the land. You would go up one side of the mountain and down the other. You drove around the rocks and through the valleys. The scenery was spectacular. And it never seemed hard to understand that there was something greater than yourself, especially when the cars at the bottom of the mountain looked like the ones you played with as a child. I thank God for two great inventions of my lifetime, interstates and bridges. Interstates meant you didn't have to weave in between cars and pass in the face of oncoming traffic. And the interstate was straight, and one didn't have to follow the contour of the mountains. No, interstates didn't change my dad's passing rule at all. Six inches from the bumper of the car in front of you and accelerate. I was always thought that it was nice that the state and federal government changed the speed laws to come closer to what my dad drove and the speed he claimed the road could handle. In the millions of miles my dad drove, he was never in a wreck until his late 60s, never got a speeding ticket, nor was he ever stopped. Faith lesson two, miracles never cease. The second invention, bridges. Bridges allow you to go from mountaintop to mountaintop, and the combination of bridges and interstates makes driving the highway to heaven much easier. They remove the hairpin turns caused by following the mountain's contour or this world's way of life. Today I want to use a bridge in construction and the parts of a car to make some points and serve as reminders about our Christian walk and salvation. This up here is your bridge to heaven. And you can see it's made up of several things. First of all is the triangle. Now I won't go into the math part, which talks about how the triangle is one of the strongest geometric shapes you can run into. But if you notice, God is the first triangle, and he represents the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus, the second triangle, is the death, burial, and resurrection. And us, through water, spirit, and blood. And through us, others are baptized. The point of this is, what happens if we remove the Holy Spirit? Or in other words, you are not baptized. That means following the Great Commission, these people will not be baptized either. Because part of our job as Christians is to go out and try to bring people to Jesus. One other point I think is really important. Where would we be had Jesus not been baptized? Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. The key word is and. You must believe and be baptized. Teachers, you know, they always got their choice. Here's a side view of the same thing. You can see all the triangles that make up a bridge. And it's one of the projects I have the kids do at school. And they actually build that out of folders. It's made out of paper. Okay? The key, again, is that Holy Spirit and baptism. If that gets removed, that's what your bridge will look like. God exists. Jesus exists. You exist. But there is no connection. In front of you, this bridge, on the highway to heaven, notice a car waits for you with its doors open. This is a car of salvation. We must make the choice to get in, accept the ride, or walk on our own. We can also choose to drive the car for a while and get back out. Just like cars, we have lots of options. Salvation is not a guarantee of heaven, but a vehicle to take us on the highway to heaven. Page lesson 3. All cars have seat belts. Reading and studying the Word keeps you in the car of salvation. Remember, click it or ticket it. The greater the problem, push and read more. I have included in the bulletin a paper on push. Push standing for pray until something happens. Hopefully you've had a chance to read it. Some of the other people already recognize it. If you have any questions, see Ginger. She is a faithful servant and has recently put it to use. My dad taught me that when you travel on your highways and byways, you should always have a set of tools in your trunk. I hope that you'll find in your bulletin some tools for your trunk. So let's go for a ride in your car and look at some other car parts that can serve as a reminder of God's plan. In your bulletin, you'll find a sheet that has several pictures on it and lines to write on. If you take that out, hopefully you have a pencil or a pen. You can do this afterwards also, but I'm going to give you some time to write as we go along. And I won't be insulted if you write. I'm used to people taking notes and stuff like that. So please feel free. It'll mean more to you. The brain research is clear that if you participate, you'll take a lot more away than what my speech will account for. 5% of what I say today is gone. That's the maximum you will remember. But if I connect it to something you need or want, you'll remember it longer. And that's my hope in this little brochure. The first picture is a car on a highway coming out of a rainbow. God's promise to us. What does this mean to you? It's not real clear on there. I'll give you about 30 seconds to write. Car coming out of a rainbow. The key to me has always been, it's not my knowledge and what I know that's important, it's what you know and your knowledge. Do you cross any bridges on the way to work? The second picture is a man walking across a bridge or has been baptized into the covenant with God. Christmas is coming soon, and the movie It's a Wonderful Life will be showing. In the movie, George jumped off his bridge and was saved by an angel. Hopefully you remember this show. What's your walk of salvation been like? Picture three. Next, grab the steering wheel of free will. Steering the car is one of God's biggest lessons for a Christian. Eventually, we learn to let go and let God. But for now, control and our free will will direct the car. My question to you then, and whose hands are on the steering wheel? Yours or God's? A newly baptized Christian jumps in, starts the car up, and drives to happiness for a while with the top down and cruising. The first taste of peace and power through salvation come in the forgiveness of the past. Most drive the car for a while, invincible to the world, or so they think. The fresh air and quick response to the new lifestyle provides a feeling like no other, and this will last forever and ever. Amen. Picture four. Little man pushing a rock. But sometimes we take a wrong turn. A few clouds start to appear and are ignored because I have put on the full armor of God. Probably turtle axe and Rain-X. So not to worry, everything slides right off anyway. Then a little rain starts to fall. Sin is like that. The minute you wash and wax the car, dust, rain, and bugs start to touch it. Dust, rain, and bugs are all constants in our earthly world. Baptism and salvation doesn't mean that these things no longer exist. After you have been baptized, your life and conversations change to ideas of Christ. I received an email from an angel called halo.com. That's Anne's email address. She didn't make me put that in. It talked about how a little girl and her father were driving in the rain. Dad says, "Sin is like rain. It falls on all of us." His daughter thinks for a minute and says, "If rain is like sin, then the windshield wipers must be Jesus because he wipes away our sin." Who's teaching whom? Isn't it great how baptism can change a family? If the windshield is dirty from all the bugs hits, then all you have to do is take action and repent. Reach for the windshield wiper button and push. Need more help with the sticky bugs? Then keep pushing until something happens. Be sure and read that one. It's one of the greatest ones I've ever run into. We hope that your journey on the highway to heaven is a long and prosperous one with no dust, rains, or bugs. But the lesson on push taught us that rocks are for us to push against to make us stronger in our faith. As was read in Romans 8, God gave us the law so we would recognize sin and stop sinning, not to punish us. God demonstrates his faith in us and his endless grace by giving us the rock. No, this isn't an advertisement for a Chevy pickup, but an advertisement for Jesus Christ, the rock. So build your house upon the rock. Picture five, follow the light to heaven. Jack Canfield, author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, explains his success. Success is like a drive to California at night. No, you don't drive the whole 1,800 miles in one chunk unless you're my dad. The drive from here to California may seem like a long way, but to get there at night, you turn on your headlights and they shine out in front of you 150 feet. So you get to California 150 feet at a time by following the light. I am the light, the truth, and everlasting life. Don't put your headlights under a bushel. Turn on the headlights and drive in God's direction. Thy word is thy lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my way. How do you get to heaven? 150 feet at a time. Through prayer, reading, and studying the word, and making mistakes. If you aren't making mistakes, then you probably aren't doing anything. What if it doesn't rain or turn dark? Then your car of salvation must be in the Garden of Eden. No rocks to push against, and you'll live happily ever after. But remember that Satan also lived in the Garden of Eden. He is the little voice that comes out of the dash on the radio. Better yet, he can turn on a TV and get you really distracted from the highway to heaven. How many hours could you gain for Christ reading and listening to the Word if you turned off the soap opera, CNN's comments, and the games? Does your car radio whisper to you about all the mistakes you have made, decisions that turned out wrong, creating doubt and deception and unworthiness? God supports us just like this bridge. And even though you add on more problems, more weight, you get confused about your own belief, not sure about your baptism, it will hold more. Who's doing the holding though? Yes, Satan and his legions never sleep, especially if he can capture a soul or turn a new Christian or an old Christian down a gravel highway or two. Each time he tap dances on the graves of the drivers, tragedy is around the corner, from the highway, God wants them to travel. If you allow him, he will add more worldly weight to travel or let you fall off. How did Satan grab you today? Was it an inappropriate dress you wore? Was it another driver cutting you off in traffic as you hurried to work? Perhaps you did not stop the sign because there was no policeman around. Did you walk in Hy-Vee and taste one peanut to see if they were ready to eat? Did a friend give you an answer to a problem at school or write you a note to skip school? The size of the sin doesn't matter. It is all sin to God. What are the rules of the road? What little voice has Satan hooked you with on the radio in your Garden of Eden? Did Satan remind you of something that happened 1, 2, 3 years ago? Does Satan's big screen turn on in your head? It's interesting, I was talking about Satan. speak and blasting, and everybody knows what you did. Do you know the only things that has more lives than a cat is a lie? Throw off the chains of this world and tap into the power of God. Use the tools of the Holy Ghost and push. Pray until something happens. One last thought. Who's in the back seat? Are you being followed? I knew an elder who was trying to help a lady get over paranoia. She was convinced she was being followed all the time. So the elder taught her about the bridge, so she understood the need to be baptized, and he put her in a car of salvation on the highway to heaven. But she was still bothered by the paranoia and the feeling of being followed all the time. Finally, after months of work and about to give up, the elder in his study found a solution in the Word. The lady came in complaining that she was still being followed all the time, and the elder told her, "Yes, you are being followed, and I have proof." The lady was ecstatic because all this time, Satan had had her convinced she was crazy. He said, two things always follow a Christian. He took her to Psalms 23:6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, if anyone asks her if she was being followed, she simply says yes and tells them she is being followed by goodness and mercy. As the story goes, two seats are always left empty behind her at church for goodness and mercy. This is the time we offer the invitation to anyone needing help to come forward. You have built your bridge through baptism, Ephesians 1:13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. As we put back that Holy Spirit, as we commit ourselves through baptism to God's plan, so that others can be baptized. Would you like goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life? Are you in your car with your seatbelt on? Are you following the headlights to salvation in heaven? Are the voices on the radio keeping you from grace and forgiveness? Do you need a push? Do you need to push the windshield wipers and clean some bugs off your windshield? Would you like to be on your highway to heaven in your new vehicle? If so, we would welcome you with Peter's words when he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and go out and perform the Great Commission," which is what Christians should be doing. "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Will you please come forward as we sing the invitation song?"